tear panteth for. The water so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And you This is my favorite verse. You are my friend and you are my brother, even though you are my king, and I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. Sing it with all your heart this morning. Worship him this morning. So appreciate the service we had last night. The word of the Lord was just wonderful. And we've got a few prayer requests this morning. I'll ask Brother Wes if he don't mind to come and pray over these. First, we'll start with a thank you from Sister Gerald Johnson. The family wants to thank everyone for the cards, food, phone calls, monetary gifts, and especially for the love, support, and prayers that keep holding us up daily. We love you all, and please keep us in your prayers in the following months. So that's from Sister Gerald and Donna and the family there. So we'll certainly be continuing to pray for them. Thank you for prayers for Robbie Long. She's out of the ICU in a regular room now. Please continue to pray for her. Right now she's only weighing 75 pounds, so pray for that. Sister Brother Phil Horniak has a prayer request for his sister-in-law, Candy. She's been diagnosed with cancer, so just remember that. Brother Baker has a very serious unspoken request. And Margaret Weeb, I think I said that last name, of Bolivia, for whom we prayed, passed away from a rapid cancer. She leaves behind a 9-year-old daughter and grieving family members in both Canada and Bolivia. Many were not able to see her before she passed. Let's remember that family. Brother Amos turned that in. Brother Gene Littleton wants to thank everyone for praying for his nephew, Jerry Baines. He had surgery Saturday morning, doing very well. Continue to pray for his soul. Brother Perry turns in a testimony. He said he came to church Wednesday night, could barely walk due to his spinal condition. Some brothers prayed for him during the service. He's had not had any more pain. Returned to work on Thursday. And he just wants to thank the Lord for what he'd done for him there. And Sister Tamika Brown turns in this testimony. that we would like to thank everyone for praying for Zion last Sunday. He immediately felt better just minutes after the prayer request were read, and the congregation prayed last week. We're so grateful to the Lord. It was amazing to watch. And then also she shared that she wants to thank everyone for praying for Josiah. He's their little one that was having problems with seizures. His neurologist has decided to begin the process of weaning him off his medication over a prolonged period of time. So God has obviously moved in that situation as well. We thank God for taking care of our little people. Keep coming, Brother Daniel. Let's stand this morning as he takes these knees to the Lord.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we've heard it preached here before about how you took those stripes, Lord, one for each major area of sickness and disease, Lord. So we know that each of these prayer requests, Father, for healing has already been paid for. The price has already been paid. All we need to do is believe, Lord. So we're putting our faith together, and we're agreeing as your scripture commanded us to do, Lord. You said that you would take these things into your hand. You said the prayer of faith would raise up the sick. Lord, we believe that. With all of our hearts, Lord, we put everything we've got, we're banking it all on your word. Because we know that your word can't be broken, can't be bent, it'll never change. When heaven and earth pass away, Lord, your word will remain truth. Father, we just thank you for this. We thank you for the praise reports, Lord. We thank you for being with the ones who are facing loss, Lord, to comfort them. We ask that your presence just be so strong with those families who've lost someone so dear to them, Lord. Those who didn't get the opportunity to say what they wanted to say. Lord, we know we'll have a chance again on the other side when we gather together, Lord, in the air. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together again and worship you, Lord. We thank you for our brother who's back there right now praying and getting ready to come out. And Lord, we just know that you're going to set him aside and that you're going to speak to us, Father. We're looking forward to what you have to say, Lord, with all of our hearts. We want to worship you and thank you beforehand, Lord, because we know that the words of life reside here and that we get the opportunity to hear them all the time, Lord. We just thank you so much to be so privileged and so blessed, Lord, to be able to come and gather together in your presence. Lord, it's such a blessing to us in so many ways. Lord, I just ask that you reveal yourself and that you not let anybody leave here, Lord, today worse than they came in. Help us, Lord, to receive what you want us to receive so that we can grow closer to you, Lord, because the day approaches, Lord, it's so close. We just thank you for everything. We ask you to bless the music and the musicians, Lord, as they come. And we just ask you to just take this total service in your control, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can be seated this morning. So nice to hear those testimonies this morning. God moving for his people and for our little children. I tell you, when your kids are sick or your family has a need, it's sure good to know the master of the wind, is it not? Let's sing about this morning. Well, my boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend who watches over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the height. It may bring me low, but it'll never bring me down. I know the master of the wind, and I know the maker of the rain. master of. If he's calmed a storm in your life, raise your hands and sing it to him. I know the master of. Let's sing that chorus together again. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm your storms, make the sun shine again. I know the master of. One more time, I feel him here this morning. I know the master of the wind. I'm so glad to know you, Lord. I know the maker of the rain. You have calmed my storms and made the sun shine again. I know the master of. Amen. Amen. If the brothers would like to come and lift the offering this morning, and then if Brandon Green, I think, has a song for us this morning, if he can go ahead and come and be getting ready to sing, and then if Lish, if you don't mind, Sister Alicia Babb, if you don't mind to come and just have a seat up here and sing as soon as Brandon's done. Let's sing Highway to Heaven this morning together. Well, my way gets brighter, and my load gets lighter, walking up the King's highway. There's joy in knowing with Him I'm going, walking up the King's highway. It's a none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway. Well, I don't have to worry, and I don't have to hurry, walking up the King's highway. Christ walks beside me, angels guide me, walking up the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven, and none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. Sing it first. Walking up the King's highway.
Ooh. If you're not walking, start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's highway. If you start walking up the King's highway, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway.
Amen.
Hey. Amen. I'm going to try a song that my dad used to sing. He's the real singer in the family. And so I'll try not to destroy this song too much, but it's a great song. It's called The Voice of Truth. And I'm so thankful for the voice of truth in my life, the ministry of the voice of truth. And I'm very grateful for that. We'll try key of C, brothers. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in, onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And He's holding out His hand, but the waves are calling out my name as they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves that keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant, with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they've had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name as they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. Never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I would choose to listen and believe what the voice of truth tells me, a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I would choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
letters of crimson, God wrote His love on a hillside so long, long ago. Love's greatest story was told. I love you. I love you. That's what Calvary said. Down through the ages, God wrote His love with the same hands that suffered and bled, giving all that He had to give, a message so easily read. I love you. I love you. That's what Calvary said. I love you. I love you. Makes me white as snow. No other, no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Let's stand this morning. We certainly appreciate those songs this morning. Let's sing. Let's actually sing Man in the Middle. I was going to sing a different song, but I'm just thinking, I love you. He was telling us in song there. He loved us. I'd just like to sing that back to him this morning. I love that man in the middle. Let's sing that together. Is that C?
Oh, I love that man in the middle, because I know he first loved me. Praise to that man who died on my
Let's sing that verse together.
And there was a mountain. Good man, and there were two thieves, a man called Barabbas was doomed for the tree, but Jesus took that middle one, and Barabbas went free. Let's sing to him this morning.
Thank you, Lord. Let's sing it again, can we? Oh, I love that man in the middle, because I know he first loved me. I could go free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, don't we appreciate Him today? Thank Him for His wonderful mercy. Thank Him for His kindness. I'm glad that He loved us before we ever even knew about Him. Amen. Don't you appreciate that? The sovereignty of the grace of God. You know, I was thinking a while ago before I come out about God's choice and election and predestination and all that sort of thing. How we so anchor our souls in it. I was thinking about when I was born of my mother and father, born July the 9th, 1956. I had absolutely no choice whatsoever to be born in the Reagan family. Did any of you all? I mean, maybe I was just born weird. Did you have a choice to be born a Swanson? Really? A Horn? Really? Why is it that folks so struggle thinking that God would have a hard time fathering His own children? I had no choice. Is that unjust? To be honest with you, I'm glad I don't have your children in my loins. Lord of mercy. No telling what we would come up with. To me, I see the grace of God that was so wonderful that He would go beyond His own attributes and offer salvation to those that wasn't even His. Amen. Let's turn today to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew 28:19. Let us assemble our souls, as it were, in the spiritual sphere, in the gallery of worship of the name of God. The name of God. Let's allow the Lord Jesus to further expound to us the mystery of the name of God, as He does in Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Are you saying now it's confusing for Jesus to say that? Really? Peter didn't sound a bit confused to me. You know who is confused by this? Those of us who've been traditionalized. You see, these apostles never heard any tradition in between Matthew 28 and Acts 2. So they took the direct commandment of the Lord Jesus and baptized these people in the name of Jesus Christ in direct obedience to what he said to Matthew 28:19. They didn't struggle with it. They didn't, is this right? Can this be right? What about what mama said? What about what grandpa said? Mama hadn't told them no different. Catholic Church hadn't been around. Oh, you say, I was a Pentecostal, but triune baptism come from the Catholic Church. That's right. And nearly every one of these denominations are baptized into the Catholic Church. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we count it such a privilege that we could be gathered together again. Thank you so much. Thank you for the service last night, the word we heard. Lord, your name was certainly more expounded to us, and we trust that it will be thus today. Speak to us once again, Father, the principles of your character which unfolds, your unchanging nature. Grant it, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's look back here at Matthew 28:19 once again, if you would. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Brother Mike Price sent me an interesting thing this morning before church, and he asked me if I had seen it, and I hadn't seen it. And it was a little caption of a thing that said that Satan is called the father of lies. He's also called the son of perdition, and he's also called an evil spirit. So that makes him Father, Son, and Spirit. But have you ever heard any preach three in the devil head like there's three in the Godhead? Of course not. And we know that the son of perdition does not sit on the right hand of the father of lies. Because there is no three devils as far as that goes. Now, we know then that the Lord Jesus, in projecting this, and I realize that it stumbles many, many people because they think, why would the Lord Jesus say something directly that would cause people to err? He didn't say it, knowing that it would cause people to err. He said it in the further display of the character of the name of God. He's actually giving us a view of the character of God that at this time had not been so clearly revealed. Now, as I said to you a moment ago, that the people that struggle with whether or not we should be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus or take on the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are only those who have been traditionalized by the concept of Catholicism. Now, whether it is Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopalian, most of the Christians of this world today, none of them are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the Church of Christ and the Disciples of Christ, a little branch off of them, they do baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, but even most of them are not baptized in the name of Jesus because they ain't got the Holy Ghost. They'd rather fight than be born again anyway. That's typical Church of Christ. So they use the formula of the name, but they still don't have the name unless you have the character of the name. Now, so Jesus says that they are to go and make disciples of all men. They're to teach all nations. And then some 50 days or 52 days after his ascension, the Holy Ghost has come. So it makes it over around 50, which is Pentecost. And then they stand up in direct disobedience to what they heard the Lord Jesus say. If they would have heard the Lord Jesus say these words in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and they believed that that was the words or the formula that was to be used in water baptism and the Holy Ghost, which was the very life of God himself, just came in them and gave them power to be able to do all of these great works, and they directly disobeyed the Lord by baptizing them in the name of Jesus. Now, most theologians will read this in the scripture, and they say, well, the reason, of course, that Peter and them told them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus was because the Jews were guilty of killing the Lord Jesus. Well, I will accept that. I will actually accept that the Jews were guilty of killing the Lord Jesus. So therefore, they should be baptized in His name. If you will accept this, that you and I also are guilty of killing the Lord Jesus, then if they're guilty of killing the Lord Jesus and they were baptized in His name, then you and I were also guilty of killing Him, and we should also be baptized in His name, since He died for our sins. So your argument doesn't hold water, does it? You see, the Bible tells us prior to this verse here in verse 37 and verse 38 that there were people that were standing there from all the different nations under the heaven. So there were Cretes, there were Arabians, there were Bithynians, there were all types of people from all over the world. And when they heard them speak in tongues, they heard these ignorant and unlearned people speak in Arabic. They heard them speak in the tongue of Galatia. They heard them speak from all over the world. So they were not just speaking to Jews, but they were speaking to many, many people from all over the world. And Peter did not make a mistake when he gave this word. Now, Peter had been with the Lord Jesus for some 3.5 years now, and he had now caught on to an understanding, and the Holy Ghost had made it more real to him about what the name really was. So when he recalled the words of the Lord Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Peter could stand up there with all assurance in his heart and baptize these people, as they would do in further chapters on in the book of Acts, and know that they were doing it according to exactly what Jesus said. But it didn't sound like what Jesus said, but it was what Jesus said. You see, this is where we are so misunderstood today. We are saying what the Bible says, but it's not what people think the Bible says. Now, you say, why would the Lord Jesus say it in such a way? Now, you see, as I said to you last night, just as we have a soul and a spirit and a body, and there are attributes about our soul that we could say that are separate and apart from our human spirit, there's things about our spirit we could say that we could not say about our flesh, so are the attributes of the fatherhood, of the sonship, and of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's things you could say about the fatherhood that you could not say about the Son, in that the Son could die and the Father could not die. There's things you could say about the Holy Spirit that you couldn't say about the Son, but that does not make it three beings. It makes it the three manifestations of the full attributes of God in one person. As you are soul, spirit, and body, you are not three people, but you are one person. Now, Jesus is going to actually reveal further about the name of God or the character of God in the way that He says this. Now, Jesus amazes me in the way that He does it, because in many things of the scriptures leading up to this, Matthew 24:49, He goes on and tells them that they'll go out and teach in His name, cast out devils in His name, Mark 16, do this in My name, that in My name, that in My name. And then when He comes to this, He says it in such a way that it would give Satan a little bit of a part of the scripture, that he would be able to take it and manipulate it and pull it apart from the rest of the contents or the continuity of the word and make it seem like it was very plausible that this is what Jesus was saying, that they should say it in Titus. Here's the very men that was standing right there that heard Him say it, and they went directly 50 days thereafter and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and set it up as an apostolic principle, and was done so until, of course, after the council was met. Now, and then yet God promised so that there would be a restoration in the last days of His name. Now think, the majority of Christendom that is gathered in America today, and most of them have gathered in Europe and Africa and different parts of the world, the majority of them have not taken on the bridegroom's name in water baptism. They are baptized in the name of titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So they don't even have the name of the bridegroom in baptism.
Some of those who have actually taken the name of the bridegroom in baptism have not taken the name of the bridegroom in spiritual baptism by the Holy Ghost. And some of them who actually shout, speak in tongues, jump, run, do whatever more they do, they think that they know so much about God because of all their ecstatic emotion, and yet they've not taken the name of the bridegroom in so much as knowing his character. That the Holy Ghost will never direct us away from the Word of God. Any spirit that you have that will anoint you to shout and jump and run, speak in tongues, and lead you away from this Bible is Antichrist. I don't care how good you feel. I don't care how many miracles you got. It would be absolutely stupidity on the part of God to give you the Holy Ghost and lead you away from His Word. He will never do it. So you can judge the spirit that you're under by the way it directs you to the Word. So any of us that is under the influence of any spirit that leads us away from the message, you better repent and get that devil off of you. Because it's not the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, praise the Lord. That's a good way to start off today, ain't it? That's exactly right. Now, watch this. Jesus reveals to us a further revelation of the character of God. Now remember, for the Hebrewism and the way that they would look at it, when you would mention one's name involved everything about who they were. So their character was very, very important. And Satan knows this as well. This is why Satan wants to divide God into three. This is why Satan wants to pull away and affect people's perspective about God when it comes to election, predestination, sovereignty, salvation, all the things of God, because he knows the way you look at God will greatly reflect in the way that you relate to God in your own personal experience with him. So he tries to tamper with God's character. So then when we would think of the Jesus and we would think of salvation and all of that, according to the way you perceive God by your conscience, and remember, your conscience is sort of like a pane of glass. And according to the ability of the light to penetrate through that pane of glass, is the way our conscience will even judge right and wrong. Now these glasses are very pretty in here, and we picked them out many years ago whenever we built the church. We did not really want them to be clear. They could have went with a light gray. We could have went with a light blue, but I chose to go with a pale sort of a pink because I thought that it would reflect a real nice reflection of light when we were in here as we are today on Sunday morning. But there's one thing about these lights. They do not have the ability to be able to reflect the clarity and the trueness of the outside light or the sun because we didn't actually want that. Vehicles moving by, this bank over here is quite ugly for those of you that's never seen it. So we wanted it to be light. But light that was hampered or reflected by color. So they emboldened or made this color inside of this glass. So that's why you've never looked out of the glass to be able to see very much. It's got to be a pretty big shadow before you can even see anything. But it's the same way with your conscience. You see, when your conscience hears truth, according to how clear that conscience is, it will greatly depend upon your formulation of tradition, your formulation of God, your formulation of love, your conception of what God is. And whenever that truth will try to penetrate more truth coming through your glass or your conscience, it has a great deal to do with how colored that it really is. And most of us were greatly colored. We were colored with Baptist tradition, Pentecostal tradition, all kinds of tradition. And even to this day, some of you hear the word, you hear the message, and you listen to me preach, and you're still pulling it through a rose-colored glass called your conscience. And that's why you struggle over this and that and the other, because you've never allowed the Spirit of God to blow that old pink glass out of your conscience and put a real good clear in there where you can see through it. Now these are very, very fitting, but you wouldn't want to walk and make your life like this, would you? Now look at the difference. Those of you who can look this side, turn this way, turn to your left, and look at the difference between that piece of glass and the doorway. Look at the doorway. Now the doorway, all we got to do is raise those blinds, and what are you going to see outside that door? Crystal clear glass. You can see the sun. You can see the grass on the outside. You can see the trees. You can see the cars. Look right out that window there. You'll see no grass, no trees, no automobiles, hardly anything. And that's the way people are when they perceive God. And when they hear the word, they're pulling it through their conscience, and they will perceive what their conscience only will let them perceive. And that's why they'll look at certain things that's as wrong as it can be. But because their conscience is tainted or rose-colored, then they will, well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. I don't see nothing wrong with that. Or if they're trained to be another way in the legalistic view, something may not be wrong at all. But the way they have been tainted by the legalist, that's wrong, and that's wrong, and that's wrong, and that's wrong. It's just as wrong to be wrong that way as it is to be wrong the other way. So what we want is the Spirit of God to help us that when we read the Bible, when we hear the messages from the prophet, when we come to church, that the Spirit of God is able to penetrate into us in its purity, instead of being tinted blue or gold or gray, which is very pretty, but it doesn't make a very good godly walk before the Lord. And this is the reason when people read Matthew 28:19, that the light of God can shine through. So they read Acts 2:38, they read Acts 8:16, Acts 8, as we're going to in a few moments, and they will read that, but the light will not be able to penetrate and be able to make way down into their soul, because they're pulling it through a Matthew 28 formulation that they received when they were a child. Their grandfather was baptized this way. And after all, I'd rather take what Jesus said than what Peter said. So what are they doing? Then their conscience and their perception of God is rose-colored. So even though they read these other passages in the Scripture, they cannot see the name of God manifested through Matthew 28:19. Now what Jesus is doing is declaring to us the character of God, which many folks don't like. Watch how he does it in Luke 10:21. And that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Now what's the way Jesus says? Now Matthew 28:19, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What I see when I read this is I see a furtherance of the display of the character of God being put out to where the elect of God can be able to see it. Insomuch that Jesus, instead of coming right out and saying, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would have absolutely should have resolved all questions down through the ages as far as a formula for baptism. But he chose to say it this way. Now you imagine the Lord Jesus, the Bible says here the Lord Jesus rejoiced in spirit. And this word rejoice is to express such emotion. We don't have any passage of Scripture where Jesus ever got blessed when people were healed. And yet we know he did. The Scripture never said that whenever the blind man walked, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. But Jesus rejoices because God hides truth from people. Now you see, this is a part of God's name, God's nature, that the people of this age hate. Praise the Lord. Well, if Jesus rejoiced about it, I really think I probably should too. But I'll be misunderstood. I'll be hated. And I'll be despised. If I rejoice on the principle of God's name, character, that God hides truth, I'll be considered one full of hate. But in reality, we're the only ones that have true love in the first place. Because we'll tell people when they're wrong. I'm not preaching today for your money. Keep your stinking money. I don't want it. I'm preaching for your soul. I ain't worried about your money. I can make a living. I don't have to make a living preaching. I make a living all kinds of ways. I'm not interested in your money. I'm interested in keeping your soul out of hell. So therefore, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not interested in popularity. I'm not interested in fame. I'm interested in being right. Now, notice Jesus in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Now, here Jesus in Matthew 28:19 is displaying part of the character name of God by unveiling it in a parabolic symbol of hiding it behind titles that seem to be so easy to perceive wrong. And he's manifesting the name of God in doing it. Well, glory. Mark 4:10. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. Now Jesus had spoke to the public in a parable, and then when they were alone, they began to ask him this. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. Now, what is this? A display of the character of God. Does this modern age want this about God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. To say that there's certain people that would be allowed to understand more about God, it's unjust, it's not fair, it's not right, so on and so on. Babble all you want. It's still the Word of God. As a matter of fact, this is God himself saying it, so certainly you're not going to argue with him. Unto you it is given to know the mystery. Now notice what's given to them. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Listen to the difference now. But unto them that are without. So there were some that were within and some that were without. He would speak to them both in a different way. Notice he said, all these things are done in parables. Verse 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive. And hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. I'm sorry y'all didn't know this is in your Bible. Notice in Mark chapter 4, verse 33. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as that were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, oh no. Oh no. You mean Jesus is making a differentiation between this category and this category of people? Oh, this is totally unacceptable. Completely unacceptable. Maybe by you, not by me. I accept it. This is God's character. This is God's name. This is who God is. Don't you see why people have to remake a God there? So they've made them a God in this age that does not do this. He accepts us all the way we are. We don't even have to change. We don't have to straighten up. We don't have to live right. He just loves us all and accepts us all for the way we are. And we're all on the same plane. I don't find that in my Bible, and that's not my God. That's the God of this evil age lying to you. Now watch. Without a parable, speaking unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things. Oh, Lord, children, this makes me feel like I'm running through that door. He expounded all things to his disciples. He expounded all things to the multitude. He spoke in parables and he said it in such a way and left this hanging and this unclear and that unclear. But when they were together, him and his disciples, he expounded all things to them. So they would understand why it was given to them by Father. To understand. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 8 verse 9. And his disciples ask him saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others, in parables, the seeing they might not see. They're looking, but they will not see. And hearing they might not understand. This is one of the most striking things in the government of God, that God chooses to do such a thing. And he may choose somebody that's as ignorant, that's as poor as they can be. They may not have very much of this world's goods, but God chose them. And God will make known to them, hallelujah, amen, God will expound to them. And they sit there and hear it, and others just thinking, I am totally confused. I don't understand nothing he's saying. And others saying, oh, you got to be kidding me. You don't understand that. You ought to be one of the happiest people in all the world. If God has given you a spirit and a heart and a nature by which the parables of the mystery of the kingdom of heaven do not stumble you. They do not set you apart. They do not drive you away from God. But instead they make you love Him. They don't make you hate other people. It does not make you look down your nose in arrogance. You actually feel sorry for them that they can't see it too. Now watch in Acts chapter 4 verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the church said, chapter 8 verse 14. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. You see, they didn't believe like a lot of message folks do. If you receive the word, that's all you need. They'd received the word, but they still hadn't got the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. They had received the word of God. What word was it? The word for that day. But they still didn't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh my. When they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, he, glory, was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now wait a minute, I thought that the name Jesus was only for the Jews. But here we're over in the Samaritan city. Which were not Jews. How in the world did the name of Jesus get over there? Glory! How in the world did the name of the Lord Jesus get over there? Who do you figure took it over there? Them apostles that heard him say, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Glory. Oh my. For as yet he was fallen on none of them, none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. This is the apostolic way of getting it. Acts chapter 19 verse 1. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you come into the message? And they said unto him, we're not sure there was such a Holy Ghost. I'm afraid a lot of our message folks are in the same shape. They've accepted the message, but they haven't got the Holy Ghost yet. Oh my. We have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And they were following the teaching of John the Baptist, which got it before he was born. But notice how it come down from John the Baptist to that next generation, and they wasn't even sure there was a Holy Ghost. See how fast they got away from the truth. Oh my. And he said unto them, well, let's go back to basics then. How was y'all baptized? Amen. Glory. And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come thereafter, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Who in the world told them that? How did that heresy, how did that false doctrine, so-called, get over there? I figure it's them apostles to blame. Since they had took, oh glory, they wanted to be rebaptized. Now, but John the Baptist Yes, and now you got to believe on him who's God's going to send. So they'd come up, no name, no title, no nothing. You got to believe on him that God's going to send. Oh, they want to come. Oh, I want to get right with God, son. I want to get right with God. So you're down here baptized, and what should we do? Come down here and be baptized. Repent of your sins. Quit stealing. Quit doing this. Quit doing that. But Paul said, that won't work. Oh, they said the prophet of God that forerun the coming of the Lord Jesus baptized me. He said, I don't care who it was. It ain't going to work. You've got to have the name of the bridegroom. John, oh hallelujah, John was not allowed to call his name in the formula of baptism. But now the Holy Ghost had come and the apostles were commanded to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. I mean, they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on him and the Holy Ghost came upon him, bleep, 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 bleep. Because most message folks don't need this verse. I believe it. I don't care if half this church don't believe it. It's 75% of you. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. Whew. Glory. Now what's the name? The name, Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. Named what? Named Father? Now Paul says, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So is the whole family in heaven and earth named Father? Well, why are you baptized that way then? Praise the Lord. Oh, that don't matter. It don't. That's the example I used last night. Next time you get your paycheck, sign son on it and see if you get it cashed. Or go ahead and sign Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Or just sign human being. Or not head. Or, you know, just whatever that you think you'd want to sign other than your name. A title. Maybe people call you Spanky. Or maybe they call you Stinky. Or maybe you've got a nickname. Well, just sign that on there and see if that'll cash it. You won't get nowhere. They've got so particular now, you understand that whenever you get a ticket to go anywhere, to fly, you've either got to match your driver's license or your passport. The other day, Carol and I made a reservation, went through Expedia and done it, and they had my name registered as Donnie. So whenever I went to check in, the airport lady said, I'm not sure they'll let you in because your legal name is Donald. So I had to go down to the TSA part there, Tri-Cities, and say, look, my name is Donald. This is my driver's license. This is my legal name. But Donnie is what I go by. It's what I've went by all my life. She said, absolutely, that'll work. She said, because Donnie is a short abbreviation of Donald. But what if I went over and my driver's license and said, Donald? I said, I'm Jack Reagan. I've got a cousin who is a Jack Reagan. I've got a Daryl. I've got a Gary. I've got different ones as cousins. You think that would work? You think they would have let me through the TSA? They said, you know what? You're not matching your name, sir. So whether we say Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, it is all pointing to what direction the name of God, which was revealed for the work of human redemption, and there's no other name whereby that we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Says of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I love the way Brother Bram says this. God appears in seven compound redemptive names. Ministers know that. His first redemptive name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide a sacrifice. His second redemptive name is Jehovah Rapha. The Lord healeth thee. He was the shield, the buckler, and seven different compound redemptive names appeared to the human race. And all of those redemptive names were brought into Christ Jesus through the one eternal name that all the heavens and earth is named after, that one name. Amen. And the church said, amen. But it's more than saying Jesus. This is where some of y'all go to bat in the eyes real fast and looking funny. It's not just saying Jesus. It's not just saying Jesus Christ. Acts 19:13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus. But here's the problem. Whom Paul preaches. Now, if the name Jesus is magical, then anybody should be able to use it. Unless, of course, there is a continuity that must tie with the person who's using the name. That you must be in the name, and you are the name, and you're part of the name. Then when you use it, it's totally different than somebody else as a magical cantation trying to say, Jesus, 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 Lord Jesus, Jesus this, Jesus that, which isn't, you know, it's absolutely fruitless. Now watch, these men are saying the right thing, and they're actually making, saying second person, referring to you devils, you! I'll tell you one thing, they found out a good lesson. Don't fool with devils unless you're called to fool with devils. They will tear you up and tear your clothes off. Oh my! And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who are ye? I'm so glad that God allowed this to happen. And Luke felt the need to write it down. So using the name, even making reference to a God called prophet, was not enough to set this man free. Nor was it enough to keep these devils off of them. Do you realize, friends, even when a preacher prays for the sick, Brother Bram says a man that doesn't have a gift in his life should always anoint with oil. Why? It stands between him and the sick. But if you're gifted, some of you may wonder, why don't Brother Donnie anoint me with oil all the time, all the time, all the time? I've got a gift that stands between me and the sick. If a person requests the oil, I do it. Jesus never used oil. The apostles never used oil. Why? They were gifted to stand between them and them. So that gift stood there between that and the devil. Can you imagine this, the man standing up here casting out cancer devils, all kinds of devils? He better have something to stand between him and what he's casting out, or it could go in him. So what is it? God puts a gift there in the man's life, and the gift, by the authority of the name of God, will call for that devil to come out, as I did last night. That's why I'm not afraid. When I cast out devils, I'm not afraid. Why? I know I'm in the name. I'm not just saying it. I'm not just screaming the name. I am in the name. And I have something that stands between me and that evil spirit. And I do not fear. If I did fear, I'd be better off not to do it. Oh, don't get quiet on me now. But what does it do? If God calls you, God equips you to do the work. And may I say to you, little bride, many of you will never cast out devils. Many of you may never do those works. But you are gifted to be the bride of Jesus Christ. You are gifted to believe this word. You're gifted to walk this word. You are gifted, and the Holy Ghost inside of you stands between you and this evil. So don't fear this evil age. Don't fear the darkness of its age. You've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost that stands between you and the darkness in this hour. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We can meet our enemy without fear or without worrying about failure. So the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Why? There was nothing. The name was not there to stand between them and this devil. Now they were saying the name. but the name was not manifesting itself in their life. This is what the devil's asking. He said, where do you go to church? Or did you eat pig meat before for breakfast? Now, how long has it been since you combed your hair? Or do you pay your tithes? Notice what this devil asked him. Who are you? I hope to God that you realize that before long, this is going to be one of the major questions in your life. And when you can finally truly answer it by revelation, you're close to the change. Hallelujah. Who are you? Oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Oh, I'm just no good. I'm no count. You think that's going to give you rapture and faith? That's not what's going to produce a rapturing faith in the bride. Well, we're just like everybody else. We're no different than everybody else. I made up my mind, glory to God. One day I was going to serve the Lord that all the Baptists should already have rapturing faith in. It's got to be something beyond your natural birth. It's got to be something beyond your humanity. Well, I'm just a failure. Some people think that's humility. Sometimes it's wallowing in the devil's muck of filth. And God, oh, I tell you, God's changed your life. You are no longer a sinner. You are no longer, you cannot be a sinner son or a sinner daughter. You're either a son or a sinner or a daughter or a sinner. But if you are a son of God, you are no longer a sinner. You are redeemed from sin, from the power. Do you make mistakes? Sure. But you're not a sinner by nature. That nature is annihilated. Hallelujah. I imagine these old boys wish they hadn't got up out of bed that day. They talk among themselves and they decide, hey, ain't seven a spiritual number? There's seven of us. I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's make this a casting out devil day. What do you think, brothers? Let's do it. So they go out and they don't find a headache devil. They find a bad one. I mean, they find a real one. So they stand up there ever so bold in the name of Jesus. Paul preaches, we adjure you. You imagine that demon in that man raised up and his eyes started looking out of this man's eyes. No doubt this man's flesh started crawling and his hair was standing up on his arms. As this demonic anointing begin to empower him. Oh, Lord. But first, before he claws him like a mad dog, first he wants to let him know, I know who you ain't. Because I know who you are. Hallelujah! Oh, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Lord, shoot him when we can come to a spot when we can stand before God and know there's no sin in our life. I don't care what stands before us. Our God is mindful of our petitions, death, sickness, cancer. It doesn't make any difference at all. And we can stand on that sacred ground and know that there's no sin in my life. When you need a petition from God, don't stand, well, I've got to do this, I've got to fix that, I've got to, well, fix it. And let's stand there before God and say, God, I'm clean. God, I'm ready. And your Bible says, if nothing convicts my heart or condemns my heart, I know I'll have the petition I ask of you. And this demon takes over this man's body and his vocal cords. Imagine by now these boys wish they was at IHOP. It's too late now. You're in the presence of a demon. Supernatural power. After he speaks, then this man turns loose on all seven of them. Can you imagine? He was biting and clawing and kicking with the supernatural power that they had never seen anything quite like it. This demon in this man was not satisfied just to hit these men, but he stripped their clothes off and wounded them. Because they were trying to use a name that they were not part of. Don't scream the name of Jesus unless you live the life of the name of Jesus. Lest you lose your new dress. You might lose that new suit of yours. You just never really know what these devils will do to you. Come on, shoot them. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed. One man against seven? But one man with only one demon in him. There's no telling how much power they have. I've seen them, and you have too. I've seen them display in such a way that it's hard to believe. I've seen some things that if I had not seen it with my eyes, it would be hard for me to accept it. Because they are supernatural. I've seen them climb up sheet metal, slick as glass, with the strength of 8 or 10 men. It'd take all kinds of people. I was casting out a devil one time up in West Virginia, and one Carol was up there praying with me. And this girl lay in front of her back, and all of a sudden she leaped up at Carol and put her arms around her neck, and she was trying to choke her to death. But there was a power in Carol that prevailed. And all the girl could do was sit there and shake and quiver and spit and make off the sounds that ever was, because the power that was in her was greater than the power that was in that girl. And may I say the same thing to you, the power that is in you is greater than the power of evil and the power of darkness. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, Brother Don, I'm so terrified, I'm so afraid. We don't have to be afraid. Them devils are subject to us in the name. Oh, hallelujah, they are subject to us in the name. Not just repeating his name, but in the name. In the name. When we are in the name, we are saying our family name. I don't cast out devils by Jesus whom Brother Branham preached, by Jesus who Luther preached. I cast out devils by the very Jesus who indwells my body. How do you saints live right? Do you live right by Jesus whom Brother Branham preached, a Jesus that Brother Donnie preached? You're a failure then. You've got to live right by the Jesus that indwells your body. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. This is what I love about this. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. How would the name of the Lord Jesus be magnified out of these guys that are getting killed? How would that bring glory to him? How would that magnify his name? The failure of imposters always proves the trueness of the real ones. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified insomuch that them demons testified, Jesus I know. And they also testified of his messenger. I want a good rapport among my brothers. I'm going to have a good reputation among the message folks. But I'll tell you one thing, my reputation in hell also matters to me. I want all hell to know whose side I'm on. I want all hell to know I'm a son of God. I want all hell to know I stand with this message of Malachi 4. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of God's prophet. Come on, children. I'm not ashamed of this Bible. I'm not ashamed of the name of Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say I've got the exact same period of experience that Paul had. I've got the same experience that fell on Acts 2. I've got the very same power of the indwelling Holy Ghost. And I'm not ashamed to say I've got it. When there is any talk down in hell about message preachers, I don't mind if my name, I don't really care if it's in the top 10 or the top 20. But when my name is mentioned, I want them dudes to go to shaking. I believe we can live that kind of life. Not just talking about preachers. I believe you saints can live that kind of life. I believe you mothers can live that kind of life, that when you get down on your knees to pray, them demons in hell go to shaking and trembling. Because they could say about you, I know her. Watch out. Her prayers is like nuclear warheads. Oh my, when she gets down to pray, all hell shakes and trembles when he prays. Oh my. You believe that, saints? Why? Because it's a son or daughter of God that knows their position, and when they speak the name of Jesus, they're speaking their family name. Can I go on for a bit? Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For whether two or three are gathered together in my name, which is under my authority for the purpose of doing anything connected with the advancement of the kingdom of God. Which leaves out the majority of churches. Praise the Lord. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. Now the carnal person said, well, listen, let's all stand. And Jesus said, you know, especially if it's a small church. Well, Jesus said, if there's two or three gathered, he'd be in our midst. So here we are. There's four or five of us, and we're all gathered here in the name of Jesus. I may come in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. See, we're gathered in his holy name. Now, we're going to vote here tonight on whether we should allow our women to wear makeup or whether we should recognize gay marriage. And the synod from the great Archbishop of Canterbury, Ecclesia, has told us that we should marry two men and two women because God is love. So we are voting on it tonight, and Jesus said, brothers, should they gather in my name, then he's there in the midst. So we just believe that Jesus will lead us, and Jesus loves everybody, so we just... Trash. Nonsense of the devil. When message people gather under an agenda or under one certain man to push that one certain man's name and gift and ministry, they're not gathered in the name either. They're gathered under the auspices of that man that they're trying to push. Whether you get quiet on me or not, it's exactly the truth. Many of you are never in Pentecost, so you don't recognize kingdom builders. This message is full of them. We got all kinds of kingdom building preachers. They're not interested in the kingdom of God. They're interested in their own kingdom. Why in the world would I want to sell out my gift to build a little bitty old tiny Reagan kingdom when I can stay faithful to the Lord and be a part of the greatest kingdom that has ever been on the earth? Why would we want to sell out our birthright to have a little Reagan move and a Reagan this? No, sir, brother, sister. We want to be part of the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God is black and white and red and yellow. Oh, in the kingdom of God is the shallow preachers and the deep preachers and the mystery preachers. That's what the kingdom is made out of. Notice in the Greek when Jesus says this, whether two or three are gathered together in my name literally means into my name. When they are gathered into my name. With love to me, with yearning to union with me, acting for my glory. That's when they're gathered in his name. You can have Jesus all over every wall in you. We could get Jesus wallpaper. We could wallpaper these walls and just have nothing but Jesus all over the whole wall. It don't mean Jesus have nothing to do with this place. We got his name down there on the sign. That don't mean you're a real believer. Jesus didn't say, these signs shall follow them that believe. They'll have my name on their church sign. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. Brother Donnie, you're a Pentecostal. There you go on them signs again. It's part of who I am. I don't follow signs. Signs follow me. Glory. Not only that, but David said, surely goodness and mercy follows me. I ain't just talking about healing and miracles and all that, but goodness and mercy is trying to chase me down. The Bible says he would send all these blessings to overtake you. Can you imagine God loving you so much and wanting to pour out so much of heaven that he sent down his blessings every day and they're trying to run you down? They're trying to chase you down, but we got our minds so full of carnal stuff. Well, I'm not worthy. I'm not going to get that nonsense out of your mind and let the Spirit catch up with you and chase you down and empty out revelation and peace and power. Let him overtake you. Some of you are wondering why your children don't want what you got. Child, don't you want to give up that dope? Get what I got. Looks like you might need a little yourself. A little something anyway. Oh, I've got such peace. You and your wife fussing and fighting like two tomcats. You fuss and fight with everybody in the church and you're a church hopper. You jump from here and there and there. Don't you want what I got? Why should they? If we get some of our parents back to a genuine old-fashioned Holy Ghost baptism and a real experience with God, that's what the original apostles had. And it made their children, they died martyrs' deaths. Yes, do you realize how many 16, 14, 15, 16, 18-year-old boys died as a martyr? Think about it. They wasn't all John's age. They wasn't all Peter's age. They saw such a reality. And they had the name of God in their forehead. They were so sealed with the program of God. They were willing to die for it. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus saying these words? Whether the truth are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now this would be quite impossible for a second in command to say. Now if Jesus is only one of the little lords of the Lord family, and Jesus is only second in command in heaven and one of the inferior gods of the God family. And let's say this morning that just in the United States, in several different time zones, that people would be gathered together. Let's just take the Eastern time zone since that's where we are. Several different congregations are gathered right now at the same time. So how could Jesus, in bodily form, be in all of them at the same time? Now let's say there's some saints over in Norway, which no doubt there are, streaming the service. There's saints in New Zealand streaming the service, Australia, Hong Kong, all over the world. And they're gathered together. Who but God could say wherever they are, no matter how many there are of them, I'll be at every one of them in the same attribute that I'll be in the big group. Do you understand what Jesus was conveying? When you are gathered in my name, it brings my omnipotence. There is only one omnipotent being who is omnipresent. In order to do this, amen, in order to do this, it would have to be a being that was omnipresent, which is not the devil. Now the devil can huff and puff and threaten to blow your house down, but he can only blow down one at a time. Most of us have probably never even met the devil himself. We don't rank high enough in threat to the kingdom of hell to where probably we've ever even met the devil. Most of us have just met with his little, you know, little guys that's on down in rank and so on. But even the devil can only be at one place at one time. I love telling you that. Glory. But only God could say, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I will be with them in Norway, I will be with them in Sweden, I will be with them in Switzerland, I will be with them at Happy Valley, I'll be with them in Chicago, I'll be with them in Louisiana. If there is 10 million groups of them gathered, I will show up as the faithful and true witness, because I am the omnipotent, omnipresent God. Hallelujah. The devil cannot say that. Amen. The Pope cannot say it, nor can anybody else say it. For where the two or three are gathered together in my name, am I in the midst of them. But the key is being gathered in his name. Now let's close with this. How do we get into Christ? In order to be in the name, God's provided place of worship, the door, the family name. Matthew chapter 3 verse 11. This is John the Baptist, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. This word is baptizo, which means to dip repeatedly. To immerse, to cleanse by dipping or submersion. I shared this with you in July, but I think it'd be fitting for us again today. The clearest example that shows the meaning of baptizo is a text from the Greek poet and physician Nicander, who lived about 200 BC. It is a recipe for making pickles. It is helpful because, glory, it uses both words. Nicander says that in order to make a pickle, the vegetable should first be dipped, babto, into boiling water, then baptized, baptizo, in the vinegar solution. Both verbs concern the immersing of vegetables in a solution. But the first is temporary. The second, the act of baptizing the vegetable, produces a permanent change. Oh, glory! John said, I'm baptizing you with water. Oh, glory to God. I'm bapto, but it's only a temporary thing. But he that's going to come after me, he's going to turn you into a pickle. Hallelujah. I'm just baptizing a lot of cucumbers, and you're going to go back to the Roman batch and the Methodist batch and whatever more. But if you ever let Jesus get a hold of you and baptize you, Jesus won't take you down a dry cucumber and bring you up a wet cucumber. But Jesus will take you down a dry cucumber, and he will bring you up a saturated baptized pickle. Amen. You won't be changed till the next revival. You will be changed forever. You will forever be changed. Glory. Hallelujah. So if you want to know what kind of language we talk around here, it's pickle language. Going to a church to be immersed, it's well and good. It's part of the scripture. But you need that fire. You need to be changed from a cucumber to a pickle. My little twin granddaughter was back there after I preached that. They got into it for several months. I think they still do it. Going around shaking hands with different people in the church. God bless you, Brother Cucumber, Brother Pickle, Brother Pickle, Brother Cucumber. I hope it sticks that well to us older ones. Oh, glory. Can you imagine that a person is so immersed by Jesus? Notice who John says will do the baptizing. Jesus himself. I can't baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Neither could Brother Branham, according to Scripture. Jesus is the only one that can take you to that solution. And Jesus himself takes you and immerses you into himself. And as many of us have put on Christ, have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ in duo, a new change of clothes. And the pickle will forever be a pickle. It tastes different. It looks different. It smells different. It's no longer a cucumber. I was one of the most emotional shouting cucumbers you ever seen in Pentecost. I thought all along I had it. Didn't we? Oh, yes, sir. I thought all along I had it. But it wasn't until I heard of this special vat that was mixed up. Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. All these spices and all these things that made up this special mixture. When I began to hear of that, I thought, oh my goodness. There's something missing in my experience. You see, when I come to this message out of Pentecost, I didn't just change my doctrine. I knew I needed another experience. I was a good cucumber. Good cucumber. But the rapture ain't for cucumbers. It's for pickles. And all of a sudden, something happened. Now, let me be honest with you. I can't tell you the day nor the hour when I was immersed in the vat. I don't think it's probably the first take that I heard because I still had some questions. I don't think it's probably the third or the fourth. I don't exactly know when it was. You see, it was laying there in my spirit. It was so close. It was so close. All it needed to do was move over from my spirit over into my soul and totally saturate me. And I would and become a pickle. So I don't know if I was hearing a preacher preach, if I was praying, if I was listening to Brother Branham. I don't know when it was. But one day, Brother Terry, I began to realize I'm a different person. I'm not the same preacher. Glory. And I've been pickle happy ever after. Oh, children. I baptized some of you in water, some of these deacon brothers, some of these other minister brothers. But has Jesus baptized you into himself? Did Jesus so take you and immerse you, not into a pool of water, but like this? Oh, Lord God. I'm a new creature. You went down in Jesus. And the things you'd struggled with, so many things, just... it was gone. Did it eliminate all your problems? Of course not. Can you make mistakes? Plenty of them. But you're different from within. You feel like a new person. You are? Brother Pickle. I know some of y'all are sour and some of y'all are sweet and some of y'all are dill and some of y'all are... even when we're baptized into Christ, all of us is not alike. You think we all get to heaven, we're all going to look like me? Oh, dear God, I'm disappointed already. You think everybody's going to look like Jim Babb and act like Brother Branham? No, God is a God of variety. But make sure Jesus takes you and leads you down and baptizes you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And when he brings you out, here you are. Whew, a little lick of him. Then you've got eternal security. Once a pickle, always a pickle. You see, a pickle cannot go backwards in his experience and ever become a cucumber again. A cucumber can move forward in its experience and become a pickle. But if you've truly crossed the line, you'll never be a cucumber again. So when the devil goes to picking on you like picking a cucumber off the vine, take your Holy Ghost fist and punch him right in the nose. And say, devil, you ain't got no business in this vat. You're going to get vinegar on your fingers. You command your devil, you're going to get saved and get the Holy Ghost. And I know you don't want this. I'm in this big jar with the rest of my brothers and sisters. When I was a cucumber, you could pick on me. You could aggravate me. You could do this and that. But now I'm sealed. I'm in this vat of the Lord Jesus, all His goodness and His mercy. Amen. And when you, what happens when you pull a pickle out? It's oozing with all them juices. And you bite into it, and what you're going to find? You're going to find what's on the inside of that jar is on the inside of that pickle. Why? Because the pickle has become transformed by the solution that's soaked in. I'm the only thing I'm waiting on right now is for my body to become a pickle. Hallelujah. I am a pickle in my soul living in a cucumber of a body. But before long, I'm going to be totally pickled. Glory. Glory. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you today for your word, my Father. Thank you for making a little bit more clear to us for the manifestation and declaration of your name, your character. Because when you unveil yourself, as you said in St. John 17, Father, I have declared thy name unto the men that thou gavest me. It wasn't by speaking the name of Jehovah, Adonai Elohim. We have no record that you ever spoke those seven compound redemptive names. But you was manifesting the name or the character of the Father. This is what's made Christianity, and I hate to say it, but also even following the message, such a reproach among many people. People say they're Christian, live any kind of life. Then they bring the reproach upon the name of Christian. People say they believe the message and live any kind of life. Preach all kinds of nonsense and doctrines and it brings a reproach. But Lord Jesus, may we be true Christians. Not just Christians by name. But Christians by virtue of a supernatural change inside of our lives. I wasn't there that day when John the Baptist preached his sermon on the River Jordan. But if I could answer and speak to John today, I'd say back to old brother John, John, I got what you was talking about. Jesus has baptized me with Holy Ghost and with fire. And I've become changed forever. I'm his and I'll never go back to the cucumber days again. It shows us, Lord, why folks can pull away from this message. Why they could pull away from Moses. Why they could pull away from Paul. Why they could fall away in every age. It's always been. It shows us how that can happen. They come in a cucumber, sit around for years as a cucumber. The preacher baptizes them or a deacon. They give them books and tapes and make them officers in a church. But they're never personally baptized by Jesus himself. Then all of a sudden somebody raises up a question about this and that and the other and they can't explain it. And they go to visiting this website and that website. Next thing you know, they're making fun of the same message they'd sat under for 30 years. There never was a pickle. Oh, but Jesus, I'm so grateful today that there are people around the world. Hallelujah. Oh, I know. I know. Satan would like to make his claim that people are falling away from the message right and left. As usual, he's a liar. There's all kinds of people in Ghana, in Togo, in Nigeria, in Africa, in Europe, in different places that are just now embracing the message. People being added And they will be to the last one who's been pulled off the book and baptized by Jesus. Help us, Father, today. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We don't want to gather here in this building that we've dedicated to you many, many years ago and call it Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. We could call it that and it would still not be yours. But we trust that not only is your name on the sign, but your name is in our hearts and our lives. And we are gathered here in your name. Minister to your children today, Lord. May your character, your personality, your reputation, who you are, be further revealed to them, I pray. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? In a few moments, we'll close and you go out after the service. Each one of you have a verdict of what you've heard today, an opinion of whether you think is the truth or nonsense, or you're not really sure, each one of you. A lot of that will depend upon your conscience and your teaching and your training and how you've been taught, or what you perceive what you've heard. But I trust that some of you at least will walk away from here today with a further understanding of Him. You see, if you can see Him more clearly, He in turn will show you yourself more clearly. As Psalms 23 says that He leads me beside the still waters. And I mentioned to you some weeks ago, sheep are afraid of waterfall. Sheep are afraid of rippling, stirring waters. So the shepherd, in order to make them drink, has to bring them to still waters. It doesn't make them afraid. It alarms them, the noise and the water falling, splashing on them. So the shepherd brings them to still water. You imagine as they bend over to the still water and they bend down to drink, they see themselves in the water. So they find their identity and the resource that they are pulling sustenance from. And if the shepherd is near and he walks up by them, they'll also see their shepherd in the water. And if another brother sheep or sister sheep walks up beside them, they don't have tunnel vision to think they're the only one going. So they're able to see this brother and that brother and that brother and this sister and that sister. Praise the Lord. This is one of the reasons He leads us beside still waters, that we can see who we are, who He is. And it broadens our perspective that we're not the only ones going. God has people around this world that's never heard the name Happy Valley Church. They don't even need us to make it. Praise the Lord. But they have met Jesus Christ. And they have heard of this message of Malachi 4. And they sat there with the little solar players or their hand crank players, as I've seen them in some of these different villages where they don't even have electricity or running water. And they're identified with Christ the Word. And they will go in the rapture without ever hearing one American preacher. Because they've been baptized into the body by Jesus Himself. Changed to a black pickle. Oh yeah. He changed blacks, reds, whites, and whatever more to be conformed to His image. You love Him today, children. If you've not been changed, in this crude way of saying it, to a pickle, please don't leave here today. How many services have you set being a cucumber? Come in a cucumber, go out a cucumber. Come in a cucumber, go out a cucumber. Please don't leave today. Just allow Jesus to take you down into the baptismal pool of the Spirit and dip you down into Himself and change you forever. Sing somebody.
Here's my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. And make me whole.
Fill it up and make
Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus.
Then I'll take up my cross. Follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. Say that you know Him. Count the cost. Take up your cross. Follow
to God. Oh, let's give Him a wonderful hand. Praise be to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just bow our heads together. Our Father, we are so grateful that we've been invited to the table of the King. You have set such delicacies before us today, straight from the kitchen of the Almighty. It was not warmed up leftovers from 2,000 years ago or 175 years ago, but manna, fresh manna. We thank you, Lord Jesus. May we ruminate as sheep do. May we think, concentrate about it, pull it through our souls till it will change us, Lord. Go with us now, Father, I pray. If it be pleasing to you for us to gather together again Wednesday, we come looking again for another display of your great character. We love you. We want to thank you for such an honor to serve you and live for you. Go with your people now, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
I believe God wants you to be some of the most peculiar, strange people of this world. As you leave here today, I want you to go out those doors as a baptized pickle.
carrying your cross. Following Jesus. Not ashamed, not compromising, but loving Him with all of your heart. Not only called by the name of Jesus, but being part of the name of Jesus. This is God's provided place of worship. This is where God meets in Christ, where God and His people are worshiped together. That is what He said. Worship together. God bless you, saints. Let's sing it as we go. See you, Lord willing, Wednesday night. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross
every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count the cost, take up your cross, follow Him. Take up your cross, follow Jesus.